Blog Talk Radio.
I was.
For my soul,
just for my soul,
and I'm tired of crying all night just for my soul.
Just for my soul, I need.
Lord, I need thee, oh, I need thee to take away this pain and misery. Cause God, I just can't do this by myself. I need a help, Lord. Gave my body and my soul away. So now I come to you just to behold, heal my soul, Lord.
I need a
of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. You have now entered the Blog Talk Radio zone. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the fourth month of the year of April 2024, and I am your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor Dr. Maria Terry, who is the host and the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries, also who had a very outstanding lesson on last week. We have an answer to your problem on today, so let's get right to it. Announcement. Please also consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Thank you to those that have sent in your donation. We appreciate you greatly. Blog Talk Radio's seventh year breakfast celebration, woo, will be held on June the 8th, 2024. And you can call either myself or Dr. Maria Terry to make your reservation. Space is limited. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. Capital A, M-A-V-E-N-G-R-A-C-E-M-I-N-I, www.gratitudetemple.com. Also, Granderson Temple, we are in our annual Women's Conference 24. Yes, women, reach beyond your break. Come on out and be my special guest on tomorrow, 10:15 a.m. And our speaker is the Pastor Brenda Irving. Amen. And to everyone listening to Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in this year of 2024. We are on the air, 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. We have exciting lessons, so please tune in. And if you would like to connect to this lesson live, you can do it by http://tobtr.com/s/123-30697. Amen. Let's get into our lesson explained. The solar eclipse has come and gone, but still the world did not give God the glory. God made the sun and the moon, and he is certainly still in control. Last week we had technical problems. Therefore, the show was unable to be aired. However, this Saturday we are coming with a greater and more powerful lesson. Why? Because we know that we have the victory. We have a word on today to captivate your mind, to illuminate your heart, and to lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus. We will take you on a journey to great peace, to a greater hope, and a closer to Jesus. The theme for the month of April is God's creation will praise him because he controls the miraculous. The lesson for this second Saturday in April is the rivers are still flowing. Let's read our topic scripture, Acts 2 and 20. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. It reads, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. John 7, 37 through 39. In the last days, that great day of the feast, stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I'm going to read that from the Amplified Version, and it reads, now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. But he was speaking here of the Spirit, whom those who believed, trusted, and had faith in him were afterward to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not been raised to honor. I have some definitions. We got abdomen. Abdomen is the part of the body that lies between the thorax and the pelvic and encloses the stomach, the intestines, liver, spleen, and pancreas, also called the belly. The belly is the bulge, the central part of the muscle, the stomach, and appetite for food. Stomach, the enlarged sac-like portion of the alimentary canal, one of the principal organs of digestion, is located in vertebrates between the esophagus and the small intestines. The abdomen or the belly and stomach are all in one. Then we have thirst. Thirst is a sensation of dryness in the mouth and throat related to a need or desire to drink. An insistent desire, a craving, thirst, to have a strong craving, to yearn. River, a large natural stream of water emptying into an ocean, lake, or other body of water and usually fed along its course by converting tributaries in a stream or abundant flow. Stream is a flow of water in a channel or bed as a brook, river, or small river. A steady current is such a flow of water, streams, to flow in or as if it a stream, to pour forth or give off a stream to flow. Flow, flow, flowed, flowing, and flows, to move or run smoothly with unbroken continuity, as in a manner characteristic of a fluid. The issue is a stream poured forth. Jesus is the water that brings life to the soul. By drinking the living water, one can live and never thirst again. Jesus is that living water. Let's get into the discussion of our lesson. At the beginning of the chapter, we read that after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. He knew perfectly well that the Jews determined upon his death. He therefore goes now to Galilee. In the second verse, we read that now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. In the previous chapter, at the fourth verse, you will find, and the Passover of Feast of the Jews were nigh. We read of the Passover over in the sixth chapter and of the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh. Both are remarkable types and have a large and important place in Old Testament scripture. The Passover was the type of death of Jesus. We had no doubt about it because the apostle said, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That's 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. If you turn to the 16th of Deuteronomy, you will find that recorded three occasions on which the Jews was to appear before the Lord. These three occasions were the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Passover was a figure of the death of Jesus, the cross. The Feast of the Weeks finds its answer in Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Ghost, Leviticus 23:15-20, Acts 2:1-4. The Feast of Tabernacles is a type of the millennium peace, rest, and glory under the sway of the Lord Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we read of the Passover and of the Feast of the Tabernacles being kept, but there is no mention of the Feast of Weeks because, in point of fact, which the Feast of Weeks prefigured was yet to come, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Ghost. The Feast of Tabernacles has its antitype in a scene of blessing and glory. By and by, when Jehovah's name, when Jesus' name shall be delighted in and rejoiced in over the whole world. The rulers of the Feast of the Tabernacles had determined on his death, and as the officers appeared in the obedience to their orders to take this blessed witness for God, mark what he says. Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. That's verse 34. He does not mean this for the anxious seeking soul. That statement is not for the heart that loves him. It is not for the anxious inquirer after salvation or the seeker after grace. Nay, these words are meant for his implacable enemies, the foes clamoring for his blood. Where I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go? The fact is, he will go back to the spot whence he came, and as he goes, he will open up the way to God so that whosoever will follow him thither may do so on the righteous grounds of accomplished redemption. His foes are completely puzzled by his words, as evidenced in their query, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go until the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he says, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come, verses 35 and 36. This led up to and gives occasion for the Lord's remarkable words, now to be considered in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. To feast had gone on for 7 days, and this was the eighth day. 7 is the number in scripture for completeness. whereas the eighth day is connected with resurrection blessings. It was on the eighth day, the first day of a new week, which the Lord rose from the dead. It was 8 days after the same recorded in Luke 9:23-27, that he was seen in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. You will find them in Scripture that the eighth day is connected with resurrection blessings and resurrection glory too. The Feast of the Tabernacles had a double aspect. It was typically of the coming kingdom, and it was commemorative of Israel's entry into Canaan. God had enjoined on his people who had come out of Egypt, had passed through the wilderness, and had gotten into the pleasant land, that once every year at the end of the harvest and the vintage, they were to keep a feast for 7 days. The harvest in Scripture is figure of the judgment, which the Lord will yet bring upon the world, a discriminating judgment in which he will save the righteous while the wicked are cut off. Matthew 13:38-43. The Feast of Tabernacles is when Israel commemorative the fact of how they had been brought out of Egypt and bondage, how the Lord had kept them during the 40 years sojourned in the wilderness, and how he had planted them at last in the promised land, where he had placed them according to the dictates of his loving heart. It was to be a feast of joy. Gladness was to be its characteristic. But in the last day, that great day of feast, it along of the feast had their overlapping day outside the 7 ordinary days when everybody was rejoicing. Where was Christ? He was outside. And apart from the scene altogether, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He knew that in spite of the festivities before his eyes, he was surrounded by weary, wretched, thirsty hearts. He knew that amongst the immense crowd engaging in religious service, there were hosts of unsatisfied, empty, thirsty souls. And are there not 1,000 today in the same position? In the midst of abundant religious formality, what misery and what need in the heart? How blessed is it to hear the Savior say, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He invited any who would to come and drink, and every wretched heart in this company tonight shall heed what he said. "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." I grant you it supposes thirst, presupposes need, and that we must come to him because we are thirsty. But he it is that quenches the thirst. None come to him unless they feel thirsty. The Spirit of God produces this thirst, this sense of misery and unsatisfied. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And if you come, what do you find? That he satisfies you and your thirst is quenched. Far more than this, one drink of cold water will quench one thirst." What does he say? "I will quench your thirst." Nay, he says, "I will make you quench the thirst of a great many others. I will make you not the source, for he himself is that, but the channel of blessings to others." We are to be the light for the world. Men all over the world came from far and near to see the solar eclipse on this past Monday, but they couldn't understand that the solar eclipse was what God had made. God made the sun, the moon, and the earth, and he controls everything in it. "You come to me, and I will meet the thirst of your own souls first, and then you shall be made a channel through which the rivers of God shall roll to the thirsty and weary all around." When the heart drink of that which is in Jesus is satisfied, then the waters overflow and refresh other thirsty souls. This, beloved, depends on the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. Not only is the thirst quenched, but out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is clearly by the power of the Holy Ghost, which comes from the glory where Christ is and fills the heart of the believers with the glory into which he has passed. Wondrous words, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And that's verse 39. And what is more suited to wilderness, this world, than rivers of living waters flowing through it? We may well marvel that we should be the channels through which those rivers roll. This figure manifestly differs from that in John 3, whereby the water and the Spirit we are newborn. Nor is it like the well of water springing up. The power of the Spirit within you, giving you to enjoy the sense of association with the Father and the Son. The believer entering into the enjoyment of things not seen, because heavenly and eternal, as spoken of in John 4. In John 7, the rivers of living water are undoubtedly connected. They further suggest the thought of connections with the inexhaustible supply of refreshment, making the believer through grace really powerful to any circumstances that happens in our lives. It is to be observed that the Lord Jesus says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For instance, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Proverbs 18 and 4, again, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water faileth not. Isaiah 58 and 11. The term river in Scripture gives much meaning in the 46th Psalms. At the fourth verse, there is a river, says the psalmist, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God. Psalms 46 and 4. There it is, something that flows from God. In the 65th Psalms, and at the ninth verse, it says, thou visited the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Psalm 65 and 9. If you have not drunk of this river, if you have never been brought by Jesus, you are missing a great blessing. Moses was instructed to go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and the rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 and 4. The rock was Christ, and the water, the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God, comes from a glorified Christ. It is the Spirit of God coming from a living Christ, filling the soul that turns to him and believes in him with unfailing refreshment, so that it flows out from him to others. When Israel was settled in the land of promise, Jehovah's dwelling place was there, and he watered the land with the rain of the heaven. But at the time we have reached in John 7, the moment had arrived for leaving Canaan, a dry land spiritually, and the river of God is not found there anymore. Henceforth, as Jesus here tells us, it would take its rise in the glorified Son of Man in heaven and flowing down through the altogether new channels the body of his believing people on earth should refresh the spiritually thirsty. For the time earth as such is neglected. The present moment or dispensation is one marked by spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And to use the figure, earth is not now to be watered, but only the people of God, the church, formed by the descent and indwelling of the Holy Ghost. This is what the Lord means in our lesson today. When the church has been taken up to heaven at the moment of the Lord's second coming, the river of God will find other channels and earth again be blessed. This will be in the coming kingdom of the Lord, the heavenly side of that kingdom we see in Revelation 22. And there the rivers of water of life, it seems, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's verse 1 and 2. And preserving all its freshness and gladness. If we gaze at earth in the millennium day, we see this river rising under the sanctuary of the earthly Zion and flowing out to water, not only Jerusalem, but all the earth, Revelation 7 and 17, Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12, Joel 3, 18, Zechariah 14 and 8. It would be a wondrous time of heavenly and earthly glory and due really to the river of God, which is full of water, type of Holy Ghost, flowing in unhindered streams in every direction, although the character of blessings then will not have the depth of fullness it possesses now. But to return, where does the river rise today? From the heart of the ascended Son of Man in glory, who gives the Holy Ghost to every soul that thirsty really comes to him. Of this there can be no manner of doubt, as we read, "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive from the Holy Ghost, was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." It is not now a material thing outside in creation. It is the Spirit of God coming from the ascended Savior to be the witness of his glory and the power of the enjoyment in us of all that flows to us from the glory in which he is consequent upon accomplished redemption, forgiveness, justification, peace, acceptance, and to give us the knowledge of the relationship in which we stand to God as our Father. It is by the Holy Ghost received that we are set in the Christian place and state. It is not only thirst met, gratified, satisfied, and quenched. It is more than that. The soul first had its thirst quenched, is filled, and then out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. In conclusion, the Spirit given from the glory where Christ is received by the individual believer the moment he believes the testimony of God as to work on the ground of which he has set him there, Ephesians 1 and 13. The Spirit of God is then the seal of the faith that believes God's testimony to the work of Christ. It is the place measured and marked by Christ, who risen from the dead on the ground of the redemption takes a new place, a man before God, into which he introduces all his own. This place, the Holy Ghost, dwelling in the believer, consciously set him in with settled peace as the result. On the last day of the Feast of Tabernacle, the Jews drew water and poured it out before the Lord. If any man desires to be truly and forever happy, let him apply to Christ and be ruled by him. This thirst means strong desires after spiritual blessings, which nothing else can satisfy. So the sanctifying and comforting influences of the Holy Spirit were intended by the waters which Jesus called on them to come to him and drink. The comfort flows plentiful and constantly as a river, strong as a stream to bear down an opposition of doubt and fears. There is a fullness in Christ of grace for grace. The Spirit dwelling and working in believers is like a fountain of living running water out of which plentiful streams flow, cooling and cleansing as water. The miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit we do not expect, but for his more common and more valuable influences we may apply. These streams have flowed from our glorified Redeemer down to this age and to the remote corners of the earth. May we be anxious to make them known to others. It is overflowing energy of the Spirit of God, excuse me, as come from and so intimately connected with the glory of Christ, that in the heart of the believer leads him to be a channel of blessings all through his course, and wherever he may be, opening his lips and molding his life so that he becomes a living testimony to those with whom he comes in contact. He becomes an illustration of those of whom Peter writes, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the virtues of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." 1 Peter 2 and 9. It is a wonderful thing to be not only a holy priest in worship, but a royal priest in service. The Lord wants the water of his Holy Spirit to be flowing through us daily as we serve him, To be filled with his spirit means to be controlled or influenced by him, to be guided by his word and led by his spirit in our lives. When we are not quick to obey his prompting, we grieve or quench his work in us and through us, and we become like a garden enclosed, a spirit shut up, a fountain sealed, Song of Solomon 4:12. Where the water is not flowing forth, but is drying up. Remember, John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, we just come today to give you glory. We come to give you honor, and we come to give you praise. Lord God, before we ask you for anything, just allow us to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace, and we come to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor on today, God. Lord God, we thank you for the rivers that's flowing. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just thank you. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for your word on today, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord God. You didn't have to, but you did. Lord God, we ask you to look on Dr. Carrie today, Lord God. Just bless her in her future endeavors, Lord God. Lord God, look on my leader today, Lord God, the administrative assistant superintendent, Dr. Byron L. and Lady Gibbs, Lord God. Look on my assistant pastor, the elder Reginald Johnson and the evangelist Johnson. Look on the ministerial staff, Lord God. Look on Minister Ellis, Lord God. Give him strength, God. Strengthen his body, God. Touch him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, look on the deacons, the musicians, Lord God, the ushers, Lord God, the lay members, Lord God. Lord God, we ask them for strength today, Lord God. Sister Bev, God, give us strength, God, in her body that she can do the things that she needs to be done, God. Oh, God, we ask you to look on the mothers one by one, name by name, God. Touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, God. Look on Mother Carrie this morning, Lord God. Look on Mother McCall, Mother Garnett, Mother Norman. Look on Mother Esther Moore this morning, Lord God. You know what they need. Mother Luck and Mother Carpenter, Lord God. Mother Gibbs today, God. Lord God, we ask you to go down in Texas, Lord God. Look on Sister Christine and Lady and Pastor Martin, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to look on Debbie today, Lord God. Touch her body, God. And then, Lord God, we ask you to go over to Indiana, Lord God. Look on Sister Pat today, God. Go to Iowa. Look on Sister Clarine and look on Devin, God. You know what your people need, Lord God. Look on our children, God. Look on our children's children, God. And look on our children's children's children to all generations, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just asking you, Lord God, to forgive us. Forgive us for any sins we have committed knowingly and unknowingly, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, forgive us, Lord God, for all slothfulness, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord God, because we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, God. Help us to be obedient to your word, God. Help us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just come to thank you on this morning, God. God, you're so good to us, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you didn't let no hurt, harm, or dangers come over us on today, Lord God. You let us sleep and no fire took over, Lord God. No robbers came in, God. And for that, we give you glory. Lord God, we give you honor and we give you praise, Lord God. Lord God, then we ask you, God, to come on in this breakfast that we're having this morning in our women's conference, Lord God. Bless the speaker, Lord God. Hallelujah. Send the word, God. And then, Lord God, after sending the word, Lord God, open the hearts that we receive the word, God. And then after receiving the word, God, allow us to apply the word to our lives, Lord God. And then, Lord God, we just ask you to just to be in everything, everything, everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where your host today was the co-host, Evangelist Carrie Rogers. And our host will return next week, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the CEO and president of the Amazing Grace Ministries. We ask you to go out and enjoy the sun on today. Amen. Still continue to watch your surroundings. Hallelujah. Watch them. You got to watch it. And then also know that God is still in control. Enjoy your day on purpose and be blessed.